It's just kind of craziness all the time, just something always kind of going on, and it's been really interesting to just see how God has really just taken care of so many things, and I've been able to just come in and use the messages that we've already heard. You know, the first week we talked about just being optimistic, and you know, if God's for us, who could be against us? And it was a great time hanging out together. If you were trying to catch that one on the podcast, we had some technical difficulties. My plan is this week to re-record that. It's just kind of hard to preach to a bunch of chairs, so I kind of put it off this week, but I'm going to do it so that it's on there because it's just that important, and it may come across more in a conversation podcast type thing more than just a preaching message. But just want to be able to start you guys off because I know it's helped me so much. And last week, Pastor Gabe did a great job just talking about being an encourager. And so this series is just really about staying positive in an extremely negative world. And I don't think that anybody in here could argue the fact that that we live in a negative world. It's just we're bombarded with it from the media to just, you know, from local media to national media to just all the kind of stuff that we see and hear and the people we encounter who have yet to just kind of get on board and realize that, hey, it's going to be negative, and we got to get with it and make a choice to have it be positive. So here's one of the things today we're going to talk about. And so I got to just preface it. I'm going to give you the title, and you're going to assume what I'm going to say. And so for most of us, especially if you've been in church before, you're going to automatically assume what I'm going to talk about. And I'm going to ask you not to do that. All right? Everybody agree? Say yes. All right. Do this. I just want to see how many of you would do it. It had no point. I just want to see if you'd follow me. Anyway, next time you won't do anything that I say. But I just wanted to see. Anyway, here's the thing. I didn't make you eat grass this time. If anybody remember, I made you all eat grass. Yeah, so anyway, it's a long story. But anyway, so here's the thing. We're gonna talk about being generous today. And I know what you're gonna say. Oh, he's gonna tell me. He's gonna talk to me about money. Okay, just hold on. Just let me go through the message. All right, because it's gonna be I think a lot different than what you think, and it certainly, quite honestly, was a lot different than where I started. And God really had a message for us, and I just want to be able to share it, and I want you to have an open heart to it and just listen, and then let him do what he wants to in and through you, and I'm going to do the same for me. And so I hope you came here looking to be changed and be different, because I think we can all use a little bit of that and a little bit more positivity for sure. And so we're going to talk about being generous, and being that being more than just a financial type of thing. Where so many times we get that associated with what's going on. And so I think we've all heard that expression, it's, you know, it's better to give than to receive, right? And that's really not just a saying, but it's actually it's scriptural. All right, so all the other stuff about scripture we believe that takes us from death to life, you know, eternally, that helps all of us, everything else, all those scriptures we believe about that stuff, we have to be able to understand and believe this same scripture. Here's what it says in Acts 20, verse 35. It says, and I have been, this is Paul, the Apostle Paul talking here. He said, I have been a constant example of how you can help those in need by working hard. You should remember the words of the Lord Jesus. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Jesus said it himself, and Paul reminds us. Paul's talking here about the fact that when, as he traveled and as he was able to have his ministry, that he didn't depend on people for things. In fact, he worked while he was doing it, and he was able to help people as well. So not only take care of himself to not be a burden, but then to help others who were less fortunate than him. And so it's a really important thing for us to understand that no matter where our situation is, there is always somebody worse. There's always people struggling more than we are. Sometimes, quite honestly, we struggle because of our own choices. We put ourselves in so many positions that make life difficult. And others have done the same thing, but sometimes it's just that they've caught a bad string of things happening in their lives, and maybe God's just got them there for a reason to be able to not only help them grow, but to help us grow as we help them. And so Paul's helping us to understand that in this. And so we want to begin today with this thought that it's better to give than to receive. Everybody understand? Say, it's better to give than to receive. Do you believe it? Okay, all right. So if we believe it, that's a pretty high standard. And so as you just said, yes, I believe it, then as we go through this, we're going to have to maybe look at some pieces of this to help us really dig down in there and ask ourselves, do we really believe it? Paul says that he bare the marks of Christ, that he showed signs of being part of having to suffer for the gospel of Christ, having been part of being persecuted and treated pretty rough because of his belief in Jesus. And I think for a lot of us in the church, not just URA community, but in the church general, this is a thing that we really struggle with. It is bearing the marks of Christ, being willing to really live out our faith the way that he expects us to. And so that keeps us from missing, or it helps us to miss out on a lot of things, but I believe those are things that really Christ wants us to experience. And Paul says, look, I bear those things. I bear those because I want to imitate Christ and I want to be all that he wants me to be. And so there's these pieces that he has experienced that have helped him to identify as being like Christ. And I think for us, if we claim to believe in Christ, there's going to be things that we're going to have to bear, and there's going to have to be things that we're going to have characteristics that are going to help us to be more like him. We should identify so many things of Christ's life in us. That's if we say we're a Christian, that's Christ-like. That's little Christian, and we need to be able to understand it. So tell me, so how many of you have kids? How many of you have a kid that looks just like you? Yeah, and acts like you. Yeah, there's a lot of us in here. I have two daughters. I have Allie, who's 12, almost 13. You know, she's almost a month, and she's going to be there. It's crazy. And she's homesick, so pray for her. She's got a stomach bug. But then I have Erin, who's six. And so these are my two girls, and so just like you guys, I have one of those that looks just like me, and my wife Kelly has one of them that looks just like her. And not only do they look like us in those respective orders, but they act like us in those respective orders. So poor Allie, she looks so much like her daddy. She's just a real beautiful version of me. You know, I'm the good-looking version. She's the beautiful version, okay? And so she's, you know, cheeks, red cheeks like mine, dimples like mine. You guys know her, you know. She I can't deny her. But she not only looks like me, she acts like me. And, you know, we laugh the same. It's kind of funny how we kind of look at each other like, did we really just do that, you know? And crazy stuff that always comes out. And then there's little Erin who looks just, you know, like her mom, and even more so acts like her mom. You know, she's definitely got those genes. And so, but we look at that and then we say, but you know what? Why does that surprise us? Why would we be surprised that we have kids that look just like us, act just like us, and it all comes out like that? Because we're their mom and dad, right? I mean, they have our genes. So shouldn't they look like us and act like us in some ways that just come across, right? We should just assume that that's going to happen. Well, here's the thing about being a Christian. There are things about us, and there are things about Christ that should come out in all of us. If we say we're a believer, and we've been delivered from our sin, we've been saved from our sin, we've been accepted into the family, we are a child of God, then shouldn't there be characteristics of us that are just like him? Should that surprise us? But the fact is we all know people that we say, well, that's a godly person. Well, if we're believers in Christ, shouldn't we all be godly people? Because that should come out. I mean, there's just things that should be about us that are about him. And so in, as we look at it, we need to be able to understand that there are things that come out of us that should be just like it. And generosity is one of those things. I mean, we talk a lot about it in the church. We really, there's so much said about it. But when it comes to really living out this one thing, this characteristic, I think we really fall short. The church has done so many great things. I mean, hospitals really came out of the church. There were so many things that began out of the Christian church. And so why shouldn't there be more of those things? Why aren't there more? I think it's because we've forgotten that there is an expectation of us to really be like Christ and to have generosity like him. When we give out of our love for him and our love for others. When we talk about you are a community church, we say that we exist to help people develop a love for God, a love for others, and a love for sharing the good news. Guess what love is? It's something that you give. It's an action verb. There is an action piece to that. And if we say we love God, then there is an action that comes out of it. If we say we love others, there is an action that comes out of that. If we say we love sharing the good news, guess what? There's an action that comes out of that. And love is not a sit-still kind of word. And so these are things that should be coming out of us, and generosity should flow freely from the church. Now, we've got to decide, are we going to allow generosity to be a piece of us? Not just because we stick a dollar in the kettle when we leave Walmart. Dollars add up, and that's all good and well, but I believe the generosity that we are to mimic and to express is to be much greater than that. It's greater than our dollars. It's greater than anything else we do. And so I want to spend some time today really digging down into generosity and what it's really supposed to look like and what we should model it as. So let me talk about some examples of biblical generosity. You got your notes there in your program. Go ahead and be writing, following along. If you got your YouVersion open, it's in there as well. But let's talk about the first one. The first one is the Apostle Paul. Now, Paul wrote in the scripture we read earlier about how that should be part of it, that it is more blessed to give than to receive. You're talking about a guy who began wanting to take everything. He wanted to take Christians' lives. He wanted to take the Christian out of them, because he was hunting them. And he was a one-man wrecking crew when it came to Christians. And so he was trying to take, but then he had an encounter with Jesus Christ, and he was totally changed. Even to the point he couldn't be called Paul anymore. I mean, or couldn't be called Saul. He became Paul. And Jesus changed him so great and took him from a taker to a giver. I don't know about you, but if you have a relationship with Christ, if you've been saved, you're probably a lot like Paul, because I was too. I was a taker. I was a big-time taker. It was all about taking everything I could take. But then when I had an encounter with Christ, man, it changed everything, where I realized, in a small part at that time, that it was about giving. It was about giving me away. Whatever I had, whatever I was meant to be given away. And so that has grown over the years, but it's, you know, I'm still learning it. I'm still trying to develop, and I hope that it gets even greater over the rest of my life. But Paul realized that giving was an important. He was a strict Pharisee. He was a religious leader who just wanted to take the hope away from people. And so he came and he has this encounter with Christ, and then he begins to minister to all different kinds of people, because he realizes now he has something he has to give away. That this relationship with Christ, this encounter with Christ that he's had, is something that he needs to give away to everybody else that he possibly can. He begins to minister in marketplaces and palaces and you know, to slaves and to kings. I mean, he's trying to give this away to everybody he can. Even at one point, he comes into a city, and man, they hear him and they begin to stone him, you know, because they run him out of town because he's sharing, he's giving away this Jesus thing. But guess what he does? Because he's a giver and not a taker, eventually he makes his way back and ministers in the same town that he was already run out of by the threat of being stoned. I mean, this guy was a giver now, and he wanted to give away the knowledge that could change people's lives forever. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 22, he says this. He says, "When I am with those who are weak, I share their weakness, for I want to bring the weak to Christ. Yes, I try to find common ground with everyone, doing everything I can to save some." Listen, I believe that's generosity in really just a very simple way of looking at it. That we find whatever we can do, whatever it is that people need, and we give away whatever we can to help them meet their needs. Now, I know some of you are thinking, yeah, but what about this person who's just a taker? You know, I've wrestled with this for a long time, and here's what I believe about takers. You just have to give them whatever, and you have to let them take whatever God tells you to give them. You let them take it, and you let them deal with God on that. You do what you're supposed to do. I'll do what I'm supposed to do. Whatever God tells us to give, we need to give, and then let God work that out. That's not up to us. That's not our place to judge. If God doesn't tell you to give it, don't give it. But if he tells us to give, whether they're a taker or not, I believe that we're to give, because that's what generosity does. It does whatever it can to meet whoever it can, wherever they are, to hopefully let them see that this is not just a handout, but this is a hand that can change your life forever, for all eternity. To not just give them a dollar, but give them a Savior. But we're called to not just keep Jesus to ourselves, that we need to be generous with him. Paul sets that example and says, listen, if I need to be weak with somebody that's weak, I'm gonna do it. Anything short of sin, I think we need to be willing to do to help people see Jesus. I'm not ever going to tell somebody to sin to put you in a place. That just doesn't work. To me, that's a whole nother ballgame. But anything short of sin, we should be willing to do as followers of Christ to be able to help people see Jesus. And you have to wrestle with that, what that means for you individually. But I'm telling you, at certain times, we're gonna find ourselves having to be willing to give to a taker to enable them to be able to see Jesus in the midst of it. It's just going to happen. And we have to be willing to do it. It's hard, but we got to be able to get there. Paul went beyond what was expected of him, and he displayed a generous attitude of service to others. So listen, we got to be willing to serve. That's part of generosity. You got to be willing to serve with you. With your hands, with your feet, with your mouth, with whatever you've been given, you got to be willing to do it. Paul did it, and that's how he set an example for us. Second example that we can see of a generous person is the Good Samaritan. I think if we've been in church, you know, if you've ever been in church at all, you've heard the story of the Good Samaritan. You may even heard it if you've never been in church. But the Good Samaritan is a story that really that helps us to be able to see what generosity really is all about. You see, somebody came to Jesus and said, "Hey, you know, who is my neighbor?" Because we talked about that, right? We know that the love for others comes out of the second greatest commandment, which is to love others as ourselves. You know, we to love God with everything that we got, but then to love others as ourselves. That's, you know, it's the second, but it's like the first, is what he says. So it's just as important that we love others as when we say we love God. And so here's the Good Samaritan. The story that Jesus tells is about this Jewish man who gets beat up, robbed, and left on the side of the road. Anybody ever felt like that? Maybe you've not been left on the side of the road, but I think probably most of us have had that kind of experience. We just feel beat up and left out to dry. And here's this guy. He's been left out there. People walk by him and ignore him. Even religious leaders, like Pastor Gabe probably, would walk by. No, I'm just kidding. He's not in the room. He's back there. I'm just kidding. But you know, the religious leaders come and they crossed over to the other side of the road to avoid this man. Now, I got to tell you, you know, I hope I've never gone to that length, but I'm sure I've walked by somebody that needed help. And when I think about the fact that I've probably done that, I'm quite sure I have at some point, it makes me sick on my stomach. And sometimes I just miss stuff, and I don't, you know, that just happens. But the reality is these guys saw the need and walked to the other side of the street and went around him. So this guy's laying there bleeding, beat up, broke because he's been robbed, and he's struggling just to do anything. But here along comes a Samaritan. Now, the person who was beat up was a Jewish guy. Along comes a Samaritan, a very controversial subject here, because a Samaritan would have been hated by a Jew, and a Jew would have hated a Samaritan. They just didn't get along. They didn't like each other. They were, you know, there was a whole thing about they just avoided each other. But along comes this Samaritan, sees a person, not a Jewish guy. He sees a person who's in need, and he steps up to the plate, and he begins to take generosity to a level that I think really puts us in a place of having to ask ourselves some serious questions. Here's what the scripture says. It says, then a despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. Just think about that. When was the last time that you felt compassion for somebody? That's a pretty big word. I don't know that I could spell it if it wasn't up there for me. I'm just kidding. But the reality, that's a big word for us. Compassion. When was the last time you felt compassion for somebody other than yourself? I'm asking you the questions I asked myself this week. He felt compassion for him. Going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them. Then he put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn where he took care of him. The next day he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, take care of this man, and if his bill runs higher than this, I'll pay you the next time I'm here. Man, that's a pretty high level of generosity, isn't it? Not only financially, but also just from the compassion side. See, I think generosity takes compassion to a level that we miss out on so much. It's the part that we miss. We get so hung up on the dollars and the financial side of so much stuff. But listen, generosity is about compassion. And it's about ministry. It's about being able to love somebody where they are, love somebody as yourself. Would you want somebody to walk onto the other side of the street while you lay there? No, we gotta be able to see people the way that we want to be seen. It says he had compassion on them. Because here's what Jesus does. He breaks it down here in verse 36. He says, now which of these three would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by the bandits? Jesus asked. The man replied, the one who showed him what? Mercy. Then Jesus said, yes. Now go and what? Do the same. You see, mercy, compassion, those are the things that take generosity to the level that Jesus expects of us. Not just giving your tithe, not just dropping some coins in the offering box, okay? Those things are, listen, don't stop dropping your coins, okay? But I'm just saying, listen, when you drop them, it needs to be for the reason that you hear in the scriptures. When we sit down and do a budget as a church, the worst part about that for me, and we've been working on it the last few weeks and really last couple months, have been trying to put pieces together, is looking at it and missing out on the compassion and the mercy that our budget should be able to show. See, we look at the dollar signs and we look at where we're off and everything else, but why don't we think of the compassion and mercy that a church budget should really take in? Now, listen, some people have a problem with pastors and their pay and all that stuff, and you know, you can easily know what I make and all of that. And I hope you wouldn't have a problem with that. But if you do, listen, you need to know I do everything I can to give away more than I would expect anybody else to. And so I'm not bragging. You just need to know when you pay me, you're having compassion, okay, on me and my kids. We get to eat and we get to have a roof over our heads. But the reality is that compassion is that peace that we should look at when we're doing things and be able to help people where they are. Not just to keep a building with lights on and heat on. That's pretty cool. But listen, we might have heat and be cool. You know, some people are like, oh, it's kind of cold in here today. Try sleeping on the street. I mean, the reality of that. It gets us. It should, if we have the compassion and the mercy that generosity is supposed to well up within us. Listen, I know you're sitting there thinking, wasn't that supposed to be like positive? Hang on, we're getting there. But sometimes you gotta dig through the stuff to get to the positive. And you gotta be honest. You gotta lay it out there, and then we're gonna get there in a second. But the truth is that when we look at the story of the Samaritan, We got to put aside cultural differences. We got to put aside all the stuff that gets in between us in the church and society and all that. We got to put those things beside us and understand that generosity is about loving others. He didn't say, hey, love others that look like you. No. Love others that sound like you. No. Love others that smell like you. No. It just says love others. I think we've got to be willing to take that to the degree that the Samaritan took it, because Jesus gave that story for a very specific reason. You need to think about who your neighbor is. I've been wrestling with it all week. We got to understand it, take it to another level. The third example that we have, gosh, this is pretty easy, is Jesus. He's the greatest example of generosity and being generous. There was no prejudice in him. And, you know, we know the story of the Samaritan woman. Again, Jesus, a Jew, Samaritan woman who you know, obviously wasn't living a life the way that Jesus would want her to, but he confronted her and loved her and helped her to become better. He didn't show any prejudice when he found me or you at a place where our sin was greater than anything we could ever overcome by ourselves. And he still hung on a cross and he died and paid the price for our sin. He gave the ultimate price for you and for me to have a relationship with him for all eternity. Because when we understand that he died for us on that cross, paid the price for our sin, when we believe it and we accept it for ourselves, listen, our sins are paid for. He restores us into the relationship with God we were meant to have all along. And not just when we die. Listen, I've been working some, kind of helping out Stanley Funeral Home, and so I've been around a lot of funerals lately, and just, you know, a lot of deceased people and a lot of families that have lost people. And listen, the death is something that we're going to have to deal with. But listen, the people that die, I love hearing when the messages are being preached and different things, when they talk about these family members that have passed away, being able to hear the testimony of the story, because they didn't wait till they died to experience heaven. They were living out their heaven here because they had a relationship with God and they knew where they were going, so they were able to live it out here. You and I don't have to wait till we die to experience heaven. We can begin to live out our eternal life right here, right now, when we begin that relationship with God. We get to experience that. I can't give you any more positive message than, listen, if you're a believer in Christ, you are set. You're going to fall, you're going to sin, but you have a heavenly Father who loved you enough to pay the price for you, to allow you to be forgiven and to come and be set free anytime from him. That's how much more positive could we be? Jesus was the ultimate example. He looked upon the Jew and the Gentile. He looked upon the rich and the poor. He looked upon those that were in bonds and those that were free. He looked at them the same. And I think we have to look at that example and be able to follow it. He saw their needs and responded. one sinful woman was about to be stoned because she had done something wrong. Anybody in here done something wrong? Yeah, come on. You don't have your hand up, you're lying. So, you know, so you've done something wrong now. But the reality, we've all done something wrong. So listen, this lady was going to be stoned for doing something wrong. We might look at it and put it on a level of something else, but listen, it's all level at the foot of the cross. We all, when sin is sin, y'all, you just need to understand it. But Jesus looked upon her and he had compassion for her, and he addressed that issue right there, right where she was. And she was delivered, and, you know, she was saved from that and able to have her life changed. Jesus is the greatest example. We need to know who he is. We need to know how he lived and be able to model our lives as closely as possible like that. We need to be able to have that in our lives. He gave his time, his life, his love, and he gave his blood. And we need to be able to do that as well. So all right, so we got examples of people who are generous. So who are we supposed to be generous to? We've been talking a little bit about that. So if you got your notes, here's what you need to understand. You need to be generous to our friends and our loved ones. And you're like, you talking about Uncle Joe? Man, I done gave Uncle Joe so much money. You know, Uncle Joe never's going to pay me back all that money I've given him. But listen, the reality is that when God tells us to give, we have to be ready to give. Sometimes to our family, we're the most ungenerous people. When it comes down to really showing the true essence of generosity, we're the most ungenerous with our families. Now think about it. The Bible is pretty clear, because remember, we set that example that generosity is compassion, it's mercy. When's the last time you really showed somebody in your family compassion and mercy? When's the last time that person, Uncle Joe maybe, who just needs somebody to love him and to forgive him for something, when's the last time he just looked upon him with compassion and forgiveness? Bible says this about our family. This is more, has a very financial meaning to it, but let me just read it and let's think about it. 1 Timothy 5:8 says, "But those who don't care for their relatives, especially those in their own household, have denied the true faith. Such people are worse than unbelievers." I didn't say it. There it is. When we aren't generous, you know, again, that compassion, mercy, being willing to help somebody, we aren't willing to help somebody in our own family, it says we're worse than an unbeliever, an infidel. It's pretty powerful stuff. I saw a cartoon this week. It was a pastor and his wife. And the pastor was there, and they were talking, and the wife said, "How about this week you try to smile and be happy and pretend like nothing's wrong to everybody at home, and you go be grumpy at church?" Think about that. Some of y'all get that on the way home, and you'll be like, "Oh, yeah," you know. But, you know, how many times, sometimes I just gotta, you know, I'm nice and do that, and then I get home and I got nothing. Anybody know how that is? It's not just the pastors. Don't be like, see, some of y'all are trying to point that off on me, like, Ron's, you know, bad, you know. But some of us were working at the cash register, you know, and being all nice and all that, and then we got home and we're grumps to our family. Whatever it is you do. We all find ourselves doing it, but we're to have compassion and mercy for those in our house. You know, there's times where I've unloaded on my girls. They've just kind of caught the brunt because of, you know, whatever, you know, that's going on. And I would have never done that here at church to somebody. I probably needed to. Probably should have, because maybe that's where it all came from. But the reality is sometimes we are the least generous with that compassion and mercy to people that are closest to us. And Jesus says, you know, he said it pretty straightforward. He said, compassion's got to be there for everybody. We've got to love those around us and love others as ourselves. Because guess what? The people in your house that live with you are others too. We need to be willing to do that. The second group we're to be generous to are our enemies. Ah, Ron, man, you could have left that off. Hey, listen, it's been a tough week for me. I'm just telling you, I've dealt with people that I felt like were just enemies, and it's been rough. I've dealt with people that felt like I was their enemy. And it's rough when the scripture tells us that we have to show generosity to our enemies. Those that have hurt us, those that have abandoned us, those that we feel like have done wrong to us. It's hard to be generous to them. And man, God has messed with me big time this week with this. And I'm telling you, it's been rough, and I'm not through it yet. I'm gonna, most of the time, pastors stand up here and try to tell you, like, make it sound like, hey, we figured this all out before we. I'm telling you, I'm wrestling with this. I will be on my knees at the altar after this message because I know that I'm still just trying to work through it. It's hard. It's not easy. I'm telling you. If it was easy, man, I don't even know if we would read about it so much. It's tough to be able to forgive. It's tough to be able to show mercy to somebody that's hurt us. Some of you have gone through terrible divorces. And it's hard. It's hard to look at that person and say, you know what? That's a child of God. They may not understand it. They may not accept it. But you know what? God made them in his image just like he made me in his image. And so therefore, I got to show them generosity and compassion and mercy. I got to be generous to them. Some of you are like, God, I hate you, Ron. No, I feel it. I'm feeling it. Not just the lights that are hot up here. Y'all, your stairs are pretty tough too. But listen, what in Matthew chapter 5, listen to these words. Just let them soak in. But I say, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. In that way, you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven. For he gives his sunlight to both the evil and the good. And he sends rain out on the just and the unjust alike. See, when we boil it all down, there's not much difference in us and our enemies. And we've got to be willing to share generosity and compassion and mercy there to be able to understand that. You see, generosity is not just about your money. See, when we get what generosity really is, we begin to not see the money. And we begin to not worry so much about it. And we begin to loosen the hold that we have on it because we realize it's way more than just money. I heard this story of a slave owner who had just finished giving his Christian slave this incredible beating out of anger. And he yelled at him, now what can your Jesus do for you now? And that slave looked up at him and said, sir, he can give me the strength to forgive you. Man, when was the last time we even asked for the strength to forgive somebody? I realized this week, I hadn't asked for it. When it's tough, when we're hurt the most, we can't forgive on our own. We can't do it out of our own human strength. We got to be able to do that out of the strength that Jesus gives us. Listen, he set that example. He hung on a cross, bleeding, dying, hanging by some nails, and he looked out at the people that had done it, and he said, Father, forgive them. Pretty tough, isn't it? That's the example. That's generosity at its core. It's grace. Does grace play into our generosity? No, not often. How do we respond to others? Because here's the thing. We have to be generous to our enemies, but guess what? We have to be generous to outsiders as well. Got to be generous to outsiders. How do we respond to other people? You know, we're probably pretty good within here. You know, we try to, you know, kind of keep up with each other, and we try to keep pretty short accounts, hopefully, and we try to forgive, you know, and sometimes those things build up and they just kind of get out of hand. But the reality is that we're to respond to outsiders the same as insiders. There shouldn't be a difference. Do we go out of our way to reach other people with the gospel? People that we don't know, people that don't work in our circles. Listen, you know, if you're like most Christians, most of your friends are believers. They claim to be Christians, at least. And they probably go to church, and they're kind of in that circle that, you know, and it's, you know, pastors are really bad. Everybody that we hang around with, if we're not careful, can be, you know, church people. And so we have to work hard to get people outside of our circle of influence, because we've got people around us in that circle all the time. But how do you treat other people? How do we as a church? Some of you are here for the first time today, maybe second time or whatever, but how do we as a church treat people that may be new, that don't come all the time, that we've never seen before? How do we treat them? You know, if there's somebody in the room that you don't know, when was the last time you just got up and went to somebody that you didn't know here in church and you just introduced yourself and said, "Good morning, I'm glad you're here"? I mean, we're all guilty of it. But you're talking about generous. How much more generous can we be to be able to just give somebody a good morning and a hello and a handshake or a hug or whatever and just say, "I'm glad you're here"? See, if you want to be positive, man, be positive. Go up to somebody you don't know and just, you know, make them think you're stupid. I like that. Make them think you're crazy. You know, because we all got a little bit in us. So, you know, don't be ashamed of it. Just going up and give it to them. Be a little crazy and just break the mold. Say hello. How are you? It's our love for one another. We have to be willing to lay that out and be generous for people who are not part of the group. I went to a birthday party Friday night at Little Tokyo. And anybody ever been? How many of you been to Little Tokyo? The lounge version? Yeah, it's an interesting place, right? Especially on a Friday night. Well, we went to a birthday party for a 6-year-old boy Friday night at Little Tokyo Lounge. Lights and all. I'm sitting there and I thought my phone was in my pocket and it kept seeing this light and I kept thinking, why is my phone going off? And it was the disco lights. They kept hitting me on the chest. So anyway, it's our neighbors, and so I'm giving them a hard time because they took their 6-year-old son to Little Tokyo Lounge for a birthday. It's just kind of fun, but we had fun. We enjoyed it. Some of us were there hanging out. But listen, there was just one guy that was just kind of there, and I could just, there were, for some reason, God just, as soon as I saw him, I knew that I knew I had to be generous. I had to be kind. I've been working on this mess all week and everything else, but man, God just put a burden for him on my heart. I just knew I needed to be his friend, and I need him to be my friend. Never met him before in my life, but he has a little girl that's the same age, goes to the same school with my daughter and with our neighbor's little boy. And so I began to talk to him and just started a conversation, found out all kinds of stuff about him. And, you know, he was asking questions about me. And we got to know each other pretty well. He even ended up sitting with my wife and with Tara just eating dinner there. But, you know, I got to know this guy, and, man, I just like him. He's just a neat guy and got a neat story and just find out about him. And guess what? He don't look like me. His skin is a little bit darker than mine. Imagine that. And his hair is not like mine. It's a little bit shorter. Mine's a lot straighter, okay? You know, he grew up on one side of Albemarle, and I'm not from Albemarle, but I live on a different side of Albemarle, right? And man, we just hit it off. So I gotta ask you, and I didn't do it just for a message. I'm telling you, I like this guy. We're going to hang out together some, because I just think God's got something in it. I invite him to church. Hopefully he'll come, him and his wife. It's kind of cool. His wife's from Australia, and I guess I probably should really, I didn't ask him if I could use him as a sermon illustration, but you know, there's something there. You ever met somebody, you just know you're supposed to be friends with them, and you're supposed to get to know them, and so Terrence is his name. I'll just say his name. So I like the guy, and we're going to hang out together, but you know, the thing is, we don't look nothing alike. So when was the last time we were just generous to somebody that didn't look like us? We were just generous to somebody that didn't talk like us or come from the same place we come from or what? Why? When are we going to get generosity to the point that we just love people? I mean, just love somebody that you're not friends with on Facebook, okay? I mean, you can love them because half of them you don't even know. You know, that's just how that works. But let's get to know people and let's get to be generous to them because, listen, we're all made in the image of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We're made in God's image. I tell you, we got to break that stuff down. We're to be generous to people that aren't like us, that maybe don't seem like they would fit into our groups. We got to be generous to them. All right, so time's getting real. Let me go. Why be generous? Why be generous? Let me just break it down to you. Why should we be generous? I don't know that I got to expound on this one anything, but because God's been so generous to us. If you're here, God's been generous to you. Whether you've given him credit or not, God's been generous to you. He has given so much for all of us. He gave his son Jesus on the cross for us. He has given us opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. If you've been alive more than 2 days, you've had more than two opportunities to know him and to be forgiven and to be set free from your sin. He has been so generous to us. I don't even need to spend time on that. If I really got to explain that to you, if you grew up in the South for sure, you've heard all of this. You know God is a good God. He has given way beyond. I was going to like pull out some scripture. I'm like, here it is. God's been good to you. You know, you can't just pull out one. There's so many. Here's the second reason that we should be generous, because we are stewards. We are stewards. What's a steward? A steward is a manager. A steward is somebody who takes care of somebody else's stuff. And you and I are stewards of God's stuff. We hold the property in trust for another. That's what we do for God. Everything that we have has been given to us by him. If a steward is honest, he does not use the property for himself. He doesn't use it for his personal gain. He uses it for the purpose that the owner has for it. That's the reason that we are called stewards over and over again. Paul said that as stewards, we need to be faithful. Think about you and generosity. Have you been faithful with it? Here's what 1 Peter says. Chapter 4, verse 7 through 11 says, the end of the world is coming soon. Can't doubt that. The end of the world is coming soon. Therefore, be earnest and disciplined in your prayers. Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins. It's hard to love people that have hurt us. It's hard to love people that we feel like have betrayed us or whatever. Listen, it covers a multitude of sin. When you love somebody, you're able to forgive. It's hard. We wrestle through it because of who we are. But listen, love covers a multitude of sin. Cheerfully share your home with those who need a place, a meal, or a place to stay. You guys know my house is always open. Friday night, the pastor starts up this Friday night. It'll be cold out. We'll build a bigger fire than usual. I hope. I may have to get some help with that. As y'all know, if you've been there, you know I'm not the greatest fire builder in the world. But we're gonna be ready. We'll have warmth outside. We'll be hanging out inside. It'll be fun. All right. So we open our house all the time because I believe that's what God would have us to do with it. That's why we have it. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. He says, use those well to sit on your butt and do nothing. That's the Greek version. No. Is that what he says? No. He says, use them to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all your strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. And amen. Amen. Because that's everything that we do should bring glory and honor to him. Listen, well, I'm just going to tell you, it never works whenever I stand up here on stage and say, hey, you know what? We could really use some help in our URA Kids program. The kids want to learn back there, and we need some help back there. It'd be great to be able to have it. It never works when I say it from the stage. I don't know. Everybody thinks, nobody's really looking at me. I can kind of sneak out. Listen, let me tell you, the Bible says if you have a gift, if you have the ability to do that, then go serve somebody with it. Go back there and help. Go back there and you can go back there and teach my little girl all about Jesus. I'm good with that. Go teach somebody else's. If somebody's been back there teaching your kid, I'm just telling you, you might ought to think about going back there and teaching somebody else's kid for a little while. Give them a break. We can always use people. Go serve somebody else with what God's given you. Some of you could talk the paint off a barn, right? Go back there and talk, you know, about Jesus to the kids. Talk to some adults about Jesus. Y'all are thinking, is he talking about me? No, I'm not talking about anybody specific. You just know you can talk, okay? But go. We've been told to do it. And being generous is about using what we've been given to see the glory of God lifted up so that he's magnified and people are drawn to him. It's just time we get over this generosity is about my money. You just want my money. No, I just want you to do what the Bible says. It's what I try to do in my life. I don't do it perfect all the time, but that's what we're supposed to do. It's just try to do what he tells us to do. And I'm just telling you, you've been given all kinds of stuff. Man, I look around this room. Man, we could solve the world's problems in here if we just get serious. I'm telling you, you guys are smart, and you're talented, and you're gifted, and you just have so much to bring. What could we do to this community if we just got serious about saying, you know what, I'm going to serve for an hour this week doing something that the church can use to help other people see Jesus? What could we do? It's time to get generous with us. It's time to just let God use us the way that he wants us to. This past week, I had a breakfast with a bunch of pastors as we met with the Pregnancy Resource Center here in Stanley County. Man, God's doing some amazing stuff through that place. I mean, there are children alive today because of what they've done who would not have had a chance at life. And we get to have a part in that. We get to play a part in it. We get to serve with them because we've partnered along with them. So we get to serve with the Pregnancy Resource Center. You last year helped them raise like $38,000 through a program called the Baby Bottle Boomerang. And all you got to do is take a little baby bottle and go tell people to give you some money to put in it or put your money in it or whatever. I mean, how hard is that? You fill up a baby bottle and children get to live. That's a pretty good exchange. Now, I don't know about you, but I think that's pretty good. And so today, we get to partner with them. You get to serve with them. There's baby bottles out here. A lot of you have already grabbed them. But on your way out, please take a moment and just grab one of those. You got 2 weeks. Just take it, serve them by filling it up yourself or getting other people to, and then just bring it back, and we'll get it to them. I mean, what an amazing way to be able to serve our community. Some of you can talk, and you can ask people to help you. I think some of you could do amazing things with a simple little baby bottle to help ladies make the choice to keep their kids. And that's part of doing what you've been gifted to do. So I'm just going to ask you to do it. I'm going to ask you if you feel like you maybe could serve and help out in kids' club. Just go. Go find Pastor Gabe. He's back there today doing it. Go talk to Pastor Gabe, and he'll get you plugged in. And get you, we'll get you trained and help you be able to do that. Just give. You know, my 6-year-old walked up to me today, and she handed me this. And you can't really see it probably, but what do you think that is? What is it? It's a rock, right? And so my six-year-old came up and gave me a rock that she found. She was generous with a rock. You know? So I'm thinking, like, what could we do with what we have? What could you do if she can make me feel good about getting a rock? What could you do with giving your talents and your gifts and yes, your money, if that's what God tells you to do? But what could we do different in this place if we would get serious about the compassion and mercy that are supposed to come out of our generosity? That's kind of a beat-up message, right? It's kind of threw some stuff at you today and maybe hit hard. But listen, if we're going to be positive, that's where it's coming from. When we begin to see compassion and mercy before dollar bills and all the negativity that comes around that, I'm telling you, you want to be positive? Look at your money and look at generosity a whole new way. Let's pray together. God, thank you so much. God, for showing us what it's really all about. God, I got to be honest, I've never preached a generosity message ever and really never asked anybody to give to the church. I that's just what we've always, I guess, been felt like we needed to do. But God, today, I'm just asking for all of us, myself and everyone in this room and anybody that will listen to this on the podcast, to just decide what am I showing, who am I showing compassion to? Well, who am I showing mercy to? What am I investing me in? God, I believe when we figure out what we're to invest ourselves in, then the rest of it just comes naturally. God, you put this church here for a reason. God, we try to work with budgets and we try to put numbers where they're supposed to be to make it the most effective and all of that stuff, God. But God, the reality is you didn't put us here just to mess with numbers, God. You put us here to love people. And I think we got to love people better if we're ever going to really see this church be all that we need to be. God, I believe we do a great job of it. But God, when I look at your standards, God, I don't love people the way I'm supposed to. And so in these moments, God, as we pray and as the band just kind of gives us that moment to think about where we are, I ask that you would reveal yourself to us, show us what it is that we're supposed to do. God, if somebody's here and they've never experienced new life in you, God, they've never experienced the moment that they ask you to forgive them of their sins and they've been set free, I pray in these moments, God, that there is no greater compassionate, merciful prayer to pray than that somebody here today would accept Jesus for the first time. So I pray that, and I ask you to just move in the hearts of the people here. I ask if there's someone here who's been struggling with their relationship with you, that you would just come and show yourself to them fresh, God, that they would just recommit themselves to you and just be able to begin to grow new in that relationship and to be able to be generous out of it. God, I pray you'll move in however it is, God. May you use us to do great things through the baby bottle boomerang, that to be able to provide dollars so that young girls can be able to understand the decisions they're making and just be able to just choose to keep and to save the life that you've put.